Hey, Rent to Retires, it's Adam Schrader here with another episode, joined as usual by the founder and CEO of Rent to Retirement, Zach Leemaster. You'll notice we don't have a guest today because we're going to talk about a topic that you hear a lot about, and that is because it's an election year. And so Zach came to me and said, Adam, what does because it's an election year actually mean? Does it actually hold any weight? And the answer to that was, Zach, I have absolutely no idea. So we went around and did some research, and we're going to bring that here to you today. So Zach, thanks for joining. Let's start talking numbers.
Yeah, and thanks for doing the deep dive into the past, you know, I think 40 years or past, like, you know, 8 or 9 elections, Adam, because this is something that I think it'll be interesting to dive into this, but this is probably a question that some people have on their minds. You know, how does this impact the real estate market, the economics as a whole, interest rates? And the data was a little bit surprising. And so while each election and each market cycle is different, I think this is something to show general trends. And just if nothing else, don't base your investing around this, but just data to be conscious of, I think, like many things. But as we always say, as long as you're staying true to the fundamentals and you have this right strategy in place for you, then it's always a good time to invest as long as you know what you're doing. So, all right, let's get into the numbers. What did we find out here, Adam?
All right, well, let's start with the thing that everybody loves, and that's the equity in their home, because that's what's going to, you know, they can use to invest in other things or just feel good about when they die and hand it off to their kids. And that's, so let's talk appreciation at first. We saw, you know, over time, we always say home prices go up over time. So let's talk about kind of what years has that not gone right?
Yeah, well, what we found out was that all years have appreciated, really, but 2 years. Actually, it was 1 year, right? There's only 2008, I think, was the only year during the election year where there wasn't an appreciation. And there were 3 years over the past, what do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 elections. There was 3 years where there was double-digit appreciation. All years appreciated. Quite significantly, except for 2008, which obviously we were in a large housing correction. I think most people know that.
And then that happened, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just so everybody knows, 2008, there's a lot, whenever we say except, 2008 is usually included. So
when I look at this trend to say, and we're seeing houses appreciate right now currently. So, you know, we obviously don't have all the data for this year's election, but we can kind of see what's been happening over the past year. When Adam ran these stats, he looked at every single year going back, and specifically looking at the election year itself, but also focusing on the year prior and the year after to see, you know, what is the general trend. I think that's really important when you're looking at stats, because you're not being so hyper focused at one point in time where it can give you maybe incorrect data. You need to look at a general trend, but all years have appreciated. Generally, what we found is that the years prior for the past 7 elections, still, majority of those have seen some appreciation, but is rather modest. And then during the election year, all years had significant appreciation, except for 2008. And then the following year, we still saw positive appreciation in pretty much all markets, except for it was a slower appreciation. So when I look at this, and we're seeing that right now, when we're looking at where home prices are at currently, home prices are still appreciating, coming out of a past 2 years where they were, you know, maybe fluctuating or rather stagnant. We see home prices are starting to appreciate early this year. And so what this goes to show me is that there is a high likelihood that this year we'll see strong appreciation that will continue because it's an election year, but also because of the overall market cycle with where we're at, especially interest rates, which we'll talk about as well. So I think 2020 year, what this means, Adam, is that we're going to have strong appreciation there. There's a very good chance, like almost every single past election year, that we're going to have strong appreciation. This means home prices are going up, and this likely over throughout the course of the year, especially as we get closer to the election. And so this probably means that buying now, before we start to see that incremental increase over the course of the year, is probably a good time to buy, to stay ahead of the curve, to benefit from the appreciation. Do you think that that's a fair assumption, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the only two times that we've seen it really, you mentioned 2008, the only other time that it wasn't really as good as the year prior was also the year 2000, which I think everybody remembers. There's a little thing that happened in 2000 as well, whenever everything popped. You know, we had the great wasn't the Great Recession, but we had the 2000, forget the official name that it was given, but you know, when the bubble burst.
Tech bubble. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, whenever you look at it that way and you see what's going on, I mean, just everything is ramping up this year to begin with. I mean, we saw, like you were saying, a little bit of stagnation over 2023 as people were worried about interest rates. They were worried about inflation. They were worried about everything. And this year, as we've gotten started, we're starting to see more inventory come in as a whole to the country. We're starting to see more people coming out and buying. We're starting to see bidding wars again. I mean, we talked about, you know, one of our coworkers here, she had to put in an offer and she was competing against multiple people when she was buying her house. She posted her house on the market and it was sold within a weekend. I mean, we're getting back to that point. I mean, it's,
you haven't heard that stuff for almost 2 years,
yeah,
right? So, but we're hearing that again. I mean, and it's starting to creep up. And so certainly I agree with you. And just to, I mean, for everyone, from my personal opinion on this stuff, we are presenting this because I think it is relevant and it is something that we get a lot of questions about. Personally, for me, this is not something that I pay close attention to, but I'm also personally someone who's bought property every single year over the past 15 years. I've never taken a year off, and I don't base my investing around election years, around whatever is going on in the world. I always find a way to be conscious about staying consistent to our goals to continue to grow our portfolio. And I would encourage other people to do that as well. But for those of you who just have general questions about how the election year changes, we're trying to bring you some market trends over time. Adam, talk to us about what we saw for rents overall. And I think you touched a little bit on, I don't know if you need to finish up like sales volume numbers as well, but talk to us about sales volume and rents.
So we'll start with rents. And that's surprise, surprise, rents go up over time. We've seen some really, really good numbers when it comes to, you know, pre-election, post-election, but almost always without fail, except for, big surprise, 2008, we have seen rents increase from election year to, from the previous year to the election year and from the election year to the next. There's only two instances where that didn't happen. One of them was 2008, and where it did see a little bit of a bit of a decline. And then 2016, we were laughing about this earlier. 2016, there was a decline between pre-election and post-election, but it was the difference in pre-election was the highest year out of all 21 years that we looked at, and post-election was the third highest year of all of the years that we looked at. So if you want to call that a drop, call it a drop, but when you're still keeping in the top three, I think you're doing pretty well. So, I mean, we're seeing significant growth between, you know, between these years. So it's a constant rise in rents.
I mean, just to, because Adam's doing a lot of comparison about the year prior, the year of, and the year after. But just to summarize this, in election year, every single election year, rents have gone up over the past, whatever, you know, 30 plus years. Every single year, 32 years, the rents have gone up during election years. And we are seeing that now because there has been, I mean, this is an interesting thing. You look back at other election years, but every market cycle is different, right? And 4 years is a big time to allow markets to shift and change. And certainly what we've seen right now is there actually has been a little bit of rent stagnation and some rent drops in certain areas, some areas more so than others. And so usually rents in general, I mean, if you're someone who's seen rents decline on properties or in your market really stagnate, that is never concerning to me because I always feel rest assured that that is a short-term thing. Rents are always going up, guys. Inflation is real, you know, and often more real than we'd like to admit. And the Fed can really never completely control it. But I mean, rents go up over time exponentially, and very, very seldom do we see rents lower for more than, I would say, a period of a year. So we have come out of a period of time right now where rents have dipped a little bit, and we're starting to see those creep back up and increase, at least in the areas that we operate in. And
yeah,
it's every single election year over the past 32 years, rents have increased, and we're seeing the same thing now. So it's a good sign.
Yeah, and you mentioned kind of we've seen some places drop in rent, and yet we're starting to see from January, especially into February, the places that it was harder to rent, it's now we're getting applications, we're getting rents, we're starting to see rents grow up. People used to be like, oh my gosh, it dropped, you know, this amount. Well, we're already more than halfway back to where it was just over the last month and a half. So, I mean, it's not like it's not like this has been some long drawn out thing. It was, you know, if you look at what's been happening, it was during COVID, a lot of, you know, there weren't a lot of new construction applications for builds. And then they started back up. And so a lot of it has been that inventory is starting to hit the market again. And so there was a brief period where a lot of inventory hit the market. Rents dropped a little bit, but now it's been absorbed and we're kind of back where we were.
Yeah. And I also think as those home prices, especially new construction, but in general, as homes hit the market during a period of time where we had still high interest rates, there was just less home buyers for those same houses, right? And so there was more houses, more inventory availability.
And the builders held on to some and decided to turn them into rentals rather than selling them for less than they wanted to. Yep.
Talk to us about moving on from rent. So, I mean, that's a good summary. The rents have increased every single election year over the past 32 years. So, Adam, what about sales volume? You mentioned this briefly, but just finish the loop on that.
Yeah. So I think everybody's going to be shocked to find out that the only aberration was in 2008. But in every single year leading up to it and after and the year of, it has increased from the year prior to the election year to the next year. It has increased every single year when it comes to existing home sales. There has not been a slowdown. Obviously, we saw some slowdown, like, you know, 21 to 22 and 22 to 23 pre-election, just because people weren't selling their homes due to COVID. But even from 2022 to 2023 now, we've seen an increase. There were, it looks like, 27,000 more homes sold existing between 2022 and 2023. We don't have 2024 numbers, but based on what I've been seeing out there and what we've just been mentioning, is homes aren't sitting very long anymore. So I would expect fully that this year we're going to see an increase in home sales, which an increase in home sales means you're having an increase in inventory and people looking to buy. Yep. I mean, just can't sell without an active buyer.
Yep. Increase in sales means, you know, it's more typically a seller's market when you see an increase in sales. And that also means higher price points. One thing that we've noticed just, I would say, over the past 3 to 4 months is that all these builders and sellers that have been offering incentives, those are starting to disappear. In addition to builders, typically when builders build homes, to keep up with market increases and prices, keep up with inflation and all these other things, they typically increase their prices on houses. You would assume that if you build a house with a custom home builder, from the time you signed the contract to the time it was built, you would have equity, immediate equity in that house because it's worth more. But home builders have to basically increase prices to keep up. Over the past couple of years, we haven't seen that as aggressive, but now they're coming out of the gates into 2024 very strong, starting to increase price points. I would say every 2 to 3 months, so at least once a quarter, you should see probably about a 3 to 4% price increase in homes. And so that is specifically around new construction. What that means, and anyone that follows us knows that we really like new construction, and that's a strong focus, especially of ours, especially in growth markets. But what that means is still right now, timing is really important, because if this is the trend that we're likely to see based on all these previous election years, you want to buy and own on the front end of that trend, right? You don't want to own in the last part of the year where the year's been aggressive. It's been a seller's market. Builders have been increasing prices. You've had increases in rents and home prices, and now you're paying more than you would have previously. So this is why it's way more important to pay attention to the market trend as a whole, versus trying to base your decision around interest rates, guys. And that's the next topic. And the last one we'll talk about is just simply where interest rates been with election years. But do not base your investing around interest rates. You're thinking about it wrong. You can always refinance, right, Adam?
Yep. And also, I just want to touch real quick on, you know, you were just talking about numbers and sellers market and all of that. You know, people heard during the pandemic, we talked about the U.S. population growth, and it was an issue. Because we, you know, population growth got down to like 0.1%. And we're talking about legal population growth, not including everybody, any potential illegal. It's back up to pre-pandemic levels. The census released a report at the end of 2023, where it's gone from 0.1. We're back up to it was 0.4 last year, it was 0.5 this year. So we're starting to see an increase in actual people coming to the U.S. and babies being born and all of those things. And so not only are you competing against more people wanting to buy homes and there's been that backlog, But now the U.S. is actually growing again. And when the U.S. grows, obviously that's more competition for everybody all the way around. So just wanted to throw that out there for people as well. So diving into interest rates, I mean, this is one that we've seen just come and go. We've seen for the most part, interest rates have decreased from the year prior to the election year. But from the election year to the following year, I believe it was, what was it about? It usually went upwards, correct?
Yeah. So the big trend that I'm looking at on this is interest rates have decreased every single year except for 96 and 2016. And even in those years where the interest rate actually went up, it was very minor. So generally, interest rates have dropped. And so there's some years where interest rates have dropped dramatically. And we're anticipating the same thing now, right? Not only because it's an election year following the same trend, but also, and you know, their politics does influence this, does influence interest rates, right? And people, this is a good thing to try to win votes potentially. But what we also see is that the Fed has, as we all know, that they've come out and said that they anticipate interest rate drops both through 2024 and into 2025. Because they've been so aggressive. So I don't think this one's a surprise. I think, you know, the general trend of previous years, of previous election years, having a rate drop would be expected. And everyone is pretty much expecting a rate drop. So, but when I look at this, Adam, it basically just reinforces all the other things that we talked about, right? Like interest rates alone, outside of just all the other trends that we talked about with appreciation, rents increasing, sales volume increasing, population growing. All those things combined with lower interest rates, we're pretty much destined to be in a market where we are starting. It's going to be more of a seller's market and prices are going to start increasing. There's going to be more bidding activity, just like, you know, some of the people within our internal team that are buying their own houses have experienced. So this means, again, the general consensus here, I think, among all of us is that it's going to be a good year for 2024. We're excited, be like, because more volume means more business for us. But it also means that from a investor standpoint, buy side, like, now's the time to take action before this trend really takes off over the next few years. And I think just owning real estate in the good locations is really key right now as rents go up, as home prices go up, to allow you to ride that curve up of appreciation, to really make some smart investment moves. If interest rates, if you're buying it at a slightly higher interest rate, who cares? So what? Rents will go up. You can refinance that in the future if you'd like to. But guess what? Running the numbers at even if the interest rate dropped a full 1% and you waited a year and a half to 2 years to get there, and now home prices have also gone up like 5 or 6%, you're losing money just based on waiting, based on the appreciation during that time. Stop thinking just about interest rates and cash flow. Start thinking about market trends and big picture, how you build wealth in real estate. That's by scalability, owning real estate, and letting the market do what it does over time, which is build equity using leverage.
Yep. And the great thing, the thing that made me laugh when I was looking at this chart, was we looked at interest rates, and this is for owner-occupied. And up until 2012, I'm seeing owner-occupied rates over 6%. In the mid fives. Guess what? Those are rates that we look at nowadays. I'm like, are you insane?
Say that one more time, Adam, because that you pointed it out and that didn't even click with me. Actually rates are significantly, and they're higher than they are today going back over these past years. So say that one more time. Yeah. Just make sure the audience caught where, like, relativity, because I mean, interest rates are all perspective. It's all relative, right?
Yeah. So up until 2012, the average owner-occupied did not go below 5%. It was all in the sixes, sevens. I'm seeing some eights here. And correct me if I'm wrong, Zach, but I think investors back then were still making money, right?
They're still investing. They're still making big moves. And anyone that bought during that period of time is still owns real estate today. You know, because we do interview some of those people, right? And they say, guess what? I wish I would have bought more. Right. I wish I would have owned more, because just reflecting over that period of time, interest rates are irrelevant. And that's a good point. Yeah. We see some interest rates on primary residences over 8% in the early 2000s. I mean, think about that. Right. That is a huge perspective to think about where we're at right now. Interest rates are not high right now, actually, and they are coming down. So hopefully this information has given you some data points just about how to think about election years and likely where this year, because we're recording this, I guess this is March 1st, whenever this comes out. But I mean, this is, we're still early in the year where this trend will likely take off and be more aggressive, I would say, in Q3 and 4. So this is a good time to make moves this year and make 2024 a big investment year for you as we plan to make it for ourselves.
Absolutely. Well, I think there's no better place to end it than right there. So if you want to check out some inventory to add to your portfolio, head on over to renttoretirement.com, schedule a time to talk with us, look at the inventory, see what makes sense for your portfolio. And as usual, if you have any questions you want us to answer in future episodes, send them on over to podcasts@renttoretirement.com. That's podcasts@renttoretirement.com. Really appreciate the time you spent educating yourselves today. Talk to you on the next episode.